It was a song that was really popular before my time, but my parents had really good taste in music and a good record collection, so I grew up listening to a lot of the songs that they loved. And so I listened a lot to Bing Crosby's dulcet tones singing out the Johnny Mercer tune, "You gotta accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, hang on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between." Gotta accentuate the positive, gotta eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. It's not surprising, probably, that hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons have used this as a focal point, because it was, after all, written for a Bing Crosby movie as a sermon. And it's something that we're told over and over and over: focus on the good things, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative from your life. But that's not what we do, is it? I was recently listening to a couple teachers talking about end-of-the-year evaluations, and they both agreed that when they got that negatively critical evaluation, they sort of fixated on all the things it said about what they had done wrong and how they might have changed things, even though 99 evaluations said they were perfect. It was that one. That one they just couldn't let go of. I've had friends over to the house, and I tend to be the cook in my family, and so I cook a big meal, and it's the one dish that didn't quite work or that wasn't ready on time that I think about all night as I toss and turn. Or how about for those of you who have any connection to dieting? Let's say you're on a diet, you're good for 3 months, and then you slip. And oh my gosh, what a failure you are, because after 3 months, which is roughly 270 meals, you missed one. And let's say you get back on track and you go another 3 months, but every one of those 3 month days you're thinking, oh, please don't let me repeat that one day, rather than the 90 where it was great. We tend to accentuate the negative, all but eliminate the positive, latch on to whatever makes us feel worst, and we still don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You know, one of my preaching professors, Judy Haler, great woman, she used to say to her students that when we receive feedback, the people who loved the sermon, think it's the best thing that's ever been spoken in the English language, that there has never been wisdom like this before, don't really listen to them. It has nothing to do with you. They're having a really good day. Similarly, those people who come up to you and say this was the worst sermon they have ever heard in any place, and that human spoken language should be abolished so that you never have a chance to do that again, don't listen to them. Has nothing to do with you. They're having a bad day. So she said, listen to Mr. In-Between. Listen to the folks who are in between the best and the worst, because that's where you'll learn. But guess what? Most of us don't. We listen to those who are having a really bad day. Because we all do it. It's human. We focus on that negative. You're in a committee meeting. Lovely people, except for that one. You know, that one who just always seems to get under your skin. Why focus on them? Everybody else was great. That one. Or there's a meeting coming up at work, and boy, you really are dreading this meeting. Everything else on your schedule is great, but that one meeting has you knots. Why? Or there's one problem in your life. Everything else is going great, but there's that one thing that's crowding out everything else that you could possibly focus on. That one thing. Now, it's true that sometimes that one thing is that important. It is true that there are things in our lives that do deserve our total attention. But not usually. Not most of the time. And this is where the idea of counting your blessings comes in. That's the title of the message this morning, and that's advice that we've received over and over and over again, and that's easier said than done. So before we talk about counting them, what is a blessing? Well, I think, stripped of all of the theological and religious, cultural, mythological understandings in which that word is usually wrapped, I think a blessing is an affirmational gift. A gift because you can't earn it. You can only receive it. And affirmational because it is always a resounding yes. It's a yes to you. It's a yes to the marvels of this natural world. It's a yes to life itself. An affirmational gift that we receive or that we give. I think that's what blessings are. Yes. So another way of saying we should count our blessings is to say we should accentuate the positive and hold on to the affirmative. Because for most of us, most of the time, the positives far outweigh the negatives. Yet that's not the way most of us, most of the time, see things. But you know, this isn't just a weird quirk of human consciousness. There's a cost to living in the world that way. There was an experiment done at Harvard, I believe. Psychologists had two groups of students who otherwise were relatively matched, and she gave one of them a notebook and said, every day at the end of the day, I want you to write down 25 things that happened in your day that were extraordinarily wonderful. No matter how big or small, they were wonderful. A gratitude journal. The other 25 students, she gave a journal to and said, I want you to write down 25 things at the end of each night that were really bad. Things that went wrong, problems you encountered. The students who, and I should say at the beginning, before doing anything else, she gave them a battery of tests to judge their state of feeling about the way life was. Their happiness exam. At the end of the trial period, those who had spent time every day looking over things that were good said that their happiness quotient was out of bounds, that the world was a beautiful place, things were great, that they hadn't even realized how beautiful and wonderful this world could be. Whereas those who, all they did differently was write down 25 things at the end of every day that went wrong, man, they thought this world stunk. People were awful. Their lives were terrible. They were ready to drop out of school. Things were bad. And the only difference, the only real difference was, what did they focus on? What did they accentuate? What did they eliminate because they were accentuating? So it's clearly better for us to focus on things that are positive. It's better for us to pay attention to the good. But like so many things, just because it's better for us doesn't mean it's easier for us to do. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk and poet and peace activist, has a thing that I call the teaching of the non-toothache. He says that if you think through your life and you remember when you had a really bad toothache, and while you had it, all you could think about was how wonderful life was going to be when the toothache stopped. You were going to dance down the middle of Main Street. Life was, your bubbles were going to be flying out of your ears. And then the toothache stops, and life goes back to normal. You don't think about how wonderful it is. There are no bubbles. You're not dancing. Life just goes on. You've forgotten the toothache. Or as Thich Nhat Hanh puts it, you've forgotten to look for the non-toothache. Because we knew the non-toothache was going to be incredible. And it is. Those of us who've ever known any kind of serious pain and are not in it right now, remember what that pain felt like. Isn't this incredible? Those of us who have ever gone through a horrible breakup, isn't this better? Now, some of us may still be feeling pain. Some of us may still be in relationships that aren't working. There will be a time, I promise you, when you will look back and say, oh my gosh, this is so much better right now. But we don't think about the non-toothache. In the Soul Matters group that meets on the second Sunday of each month to look at the packet of materials that goes along with the monthly themes, one of the exercises we had to choose from among that we could do for the month was to count our blessings and to try to count 100 every day. I don't think there was a person in the room who thought they could do it, who thought they could get to 100. 10 maybe? 5? But 100 seemed crazy. But see, the thing is, these blessings, these affirmational gifts, don't have to be huge. They can be small. Again, quoting from Thich Nhat Hanh, he says, the true miracle is not walking on water. It's not walking on air. It's walking on this earth. That's a miracle. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that a miracle is a blowing clover. Blessings don't have to be huge. They could just be part of our lives. I'm breathing. My heart is beating. Or as a friend of mine likes to say, I'm above ground. It's not raining. Yet. Scott plays such beautiful music. I get to go to a congregational meeting in a little while. I don't have a toothache. It's not hard. It's not hard. And yet, it is oh so hard because it's different than what we're conditioned to do. Counting our blessings isn't about making a list. And dear God, let us not make it about comparing our list with somebody else's. It's about redirecting our gaze. It's about reorienting our focus on what Henry David Thoreau called life that is life. It's about training ourselves to notice the things, the little things, the huge things that really matter. Don't deny the things that are hard. They're real. But for most of us, most of the time, they are not what is the biggest part of our lives. They're simply not. When I broke my shoulder and was in agony, being driven from the hospital in Cape Cod that couldn't deal with such a bad fracture into Boston, the EMT who was in the back of the ambulance with me knew the road so well that at every bump he could warn me. What a blessing that was. What a gift. Each of us live lives that are filled with beauty. We just have to learn to call it that. Each of us live lives that are filled with miracles. We just have to choose to see them like that. Each of us live lives that are blessings. Notice I didn't say that are filled with blessings. I said that are blessings. That was one of the other exercises we were asked in that Soul Matters group. What would it take to think of your life as a blessing? There were about as many people who thought they could do that as thought they could count to 100. And yet, each of us is to somebody else, something else, if only our dog, a blessing. The Sufi poet Hafiz wrote, "I rarely let the word no escape from my mouth, because it is so plain to my soul that God has shouted yes, yes, yes to every luminous moment in existence." Counting our blessings, teaching ourselves, training ourselves to be aware of them, is about living a life in which we too can say yes, yes, yes to every moment of our existence, and recognize even the smallest of them as luminous. May it be so.